CliffCentral.com.
Oh, you can be the light.
Alright, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The multi-talented and the absolutely outstanding Lira is in the studio with us right now. And you just heard Let There Be Light. Very inspirational song, I have to say. Does this form what the album sounds like?
Very much. It sounds anthemic, very epic, and I think positivity is a core of my brand value.
Yes, it has always been.
So it's always been. So that's always going to stay. And it's just about, I don't know, evolving the sound. And I feel like we definitely did that with this particular album. I'm very excited.
It's been, what, 4 years now?
Well, five when you count.
Five?
Like five, yeah. Why? Four and a half or so.
Why the break?
Because I was busy globetrotting. Literally, I've been all over the world just introducing myself to different markets, getting interest going in different parts of the world. Last year, 15 countries. It was amazing. And just the feedback was just incredible. And so, I mean, I've made it no secret that I would love a more international career. But in order to do that, I've got to go to those places and feel the water out, as it were.
What does that mean? If you were to explain it to me as though I'm a 5 year old, what does that mean in terms of you appealing to an international audience for you as Lira?
Okay, so I'm playing at festivals. Let me take the States. The States is a classic case. I spent four different occasions visiting the States. So the first time, it was to get a sense of if my music has a place in the space there. Mm-hmm. So I had a booking agent. We organized some gigs. And I had a PR person because, of course, you need some hype, people to know that you're in town. Did interviews. I went on tour and we were sold out. I mean, it was amazing for me that was first the case. But a lot of them were curious. Some of them have seen me on the net and some of them were introduced to my music by South Africans traveling abroad, that kind of thing. And so the response was really phenomenal. And then so the appetite starts. And some of the best things that I got as feedback was, you know, your sound is unique. Your sound, we need this kind of messaging and this kind of voice in the States. So do come back. We're loving what you're doing, which went well. And then we were invited to the Obama inauguration.
Yes.
And then there was an opportunity to go to the U.S. Virgin Islands. And then I performed twice at that time at SOB's, which is the club that broke John Legend. So, you know, just again, the minute people know you're there and they know that you've done well in South Africa, for instance, then there's a talking point. Then everyone wants to speak to you. So media was really going fantastically well. And then I decided, okay, cool, I'm ready for an official release of an album. And that was on the fourth visit, which was 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I released my first album titled Born Free, Rise Again, and I did a promotional tour of the album, and that was pretty epic because now we were hitting TV, KTA Lay, for instance. Actually, they also saw us when I was there for the Obama inauguration, but they have literally all of Los Angeles watching every morning. It's like millions of people. And I remember once we did that show, I'd be walking down the street and they'll be like, hey, yo, you're Lira, right? Like, I saw you on TV this morning, that kind of thing. So, you know, people need to see you. They need to feel you. And they need to hear you. And that's what breeds appetite for your music.
You've obviously evolved from your previous album to now and the time you've taken. What kind of research do you undergo in order to put together an anthemic album such as the one you've just released?
Well, I guess firstly, I am aware of global trends, but I always try not to try to keep up with all of that stuff because it comes and goes. And I'm trying to be a timeless artist. That is my intention. But I also love the big sound. I mean, I feel my music at this moment can lend itself to big soundtracks. And that's wonderful for me. You know, it's beautiful to be able to write stories that can be used in that kind of vein. So my main focus, though, was to capture the emotion of it. So I feel like this is the first time that we've been able to really amplify emotion in the way that we have.
Nice.
And it sounds current, you know, there's like a freshness to it, which I like, because sometimes you can have like a dated sound, which for me is just like, no, it's nice to evolve. It's nice to either you're setting the trend or at least moving with it in terms of sonics now. Yeah.
Let's talk about Lira as a brand. I mean, we live in a time where enterprising is very important. Creating a business around the name and the music. We're seeing people, having endorsement deals and stuff like that. As Lira, how important are those things to you and, your relationship with the business community in general?
I love it because it's a great way to amplify your brand. But how I pick my associations is finding values that are common. So it really needs to feel authentic. For instance, I've just become the brand influencer for Bobby Brown.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. But I love makeup, period. Okay. I'm that girl that invites my cousins and we do like a whole, we all sit together, we lay down the makeup and I teach them what to do.
Oh, really?
I love makeup. You know, and for me, I think girls need to use it in a way that doesn't change who you are, but just enhances your natural beauty.
Yeah.
So especially when you're young and you're a teenager and you're still grappling with your confidence, it's just like little tools that you learn to enhance that. With my girlfriends, I got them makeup as Christmas presents.
Nice.
So this is what I do anyway. And so I've become a brand influencer for South Africa. And so, like I say again, with Bobby Brown, for instance, it's going to be a huge PR for me here throughout the continent as well as in the States or everywhere else where Bobby Brown is present. So that's a great talking point.
If you weren't an artist that you are today, what would you be doing?
I'd still be an accountant. I'd probably be trying to become a CA.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I can't say how that would be going, but you know.
How much of what you learned and do you apply to the music today?
Everything. That kind of education, that kind of accountability has made me, I think I'm very good with money. I account for everything. So there's a good balance in terms of that.
Mm-hmm.
But also the education process for me taught me how to think systematically and logically. So as musicians, we can sort of be happy-go-lucky, but you still need to structure your life in order to make it work. I always say, music is a very spiritual thing, but we still exist in a world that is very structured. So we need a gap that's going to bridge what we do and functioning in the world as it functions.
Michael Jackson versus Prince.
I love Michael Jackson, though.
You didn't even think about that.
I didn't have to think about that. You know, I had such a powerful dream about Michael Jackson, and he's had a big influence on me that I actually thought I was going to meet him. So when he died, I was like, whoa.
No, hold up.
I was like, no, this is not how the story goes. What?
Okay, Tupac, Biggie.
Oh, that's not fair, though.
Why?
That's not fair.
Why?
Does anybody ever choose between those two?
They do it all the time.
No, that's not fair. Oh, my. Ay. Tupac.
Ata Mafugate. Mdu.
Oh, but that's... Okay, it's a fair comparison, but given my history, it's not so fair.
Okay,
but
no,
I know. I figured I loved Mdu as an artist. I thought he was just phenomenal.
Yeah,
absolutely. But Arthur, you know, I literally learned a lot from him. So, if you're asking me as artist, I'll say Mdu.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, it's part of your journey, isn't it? Having been, well, you were signed to his stable, to Arthur's stable.
Oh yeah.
And have you maintained any kind of relationship?
We get along. We speak. We're very civil to each other.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and he's brought some of Chummy's music to be mixed by my husband and producer.
Okay.
So he's been at our house, for instance. So it's chill vibes.
Okay. Now let's talk about back while you were touring.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the one place you enjoyed the most?
California. Actually, it's just my favorite. I would live in LA any day. But San Francisco surprised me. We had Asians, we had Puerto Ricans, And I mean, everyone was on their feet and they were singing Parate and Hamba. And I was just like, what is going on? But that was cool. It really surprised me. It was a different eclectic mix of crowd.
Feels good. Yeah. 10 years now, right?
10 years. Can you believe it?
Take me through the creative process of just working on that song, because it was such a huge surprise for us when it just dropped. It was like, what is this? And then we get to know it's you. Like, we had to catch up.
True.
Take me through the process of just ending up with that type of sound and that song and as widely played as it was.
You know, I'll be the first to admit that other female artists had already set the tone for the sound of female vocalists at that time.
Mm.
So I started off strictly R&B, and what frustrated me in that time was the fact that R&B started moving towards being highly sexual.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't just about the music anymore.
Tell me
about it. The J-Lo's and Beyonce started throwing off their clothes. I was like, what? Guys, wait. I thought we were just, you know, not every artist is like that. So I was just, I found myself, I didn't have a place and space in that. And so sort of the Afro soul vibe became the next logical space to be in, because I still wanted to sing and be respected as a woman. And so I packaged myself that way to help me express myself better. I wanted to keep my clothes on, for starters. And just that respect, because I think when I was back at 999, girls were very objectified, and I felt constantly a need to protect myself. That was just my perception of it. I mean, you'd meet people within the industry, and people would just grab you like they know you like that. It would irritate me how you'd every day have to fight off that kind of energy. It was just hard work. So I think it influenced me in wanting to shape my brand so that people would think that that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
And that's the case now. So it's like positioning to achieve that.
Lyra is here with us in the studio, and she will be performing for us. So stand by. Do not move. My social media handles, it's O'Neill Africa across board. Leave your comments. We'll share them throughout. the remarkable Lira, ladies and gentlemen. She just ended off her performance for us. This is actually a very special day because on this very day, her album Born Free is officially out now.
Absolutely. It's out on iTunes and Apple Music all around the world.
And for the first time, we're seeing history being made even with the iTunes. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. So the shopfront is literally just focusing on the Born Free album.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that this has ever been done for a South African artist. So it's a big deal. If you're on iTunes, log on now and just check it out. And if you like what you hear, please buy the Born Free album and show some love.
So basically, they've created space for Lira and Born Free only.
Literally, it's called a store takedown.
And it has never been done for any South African artist before.
Not even Adele's Hello, for instance.
She didn't get that either.
She didn't get that. So it's a huge sign of faith. And so, hence I say, you know, it's they do their part, I do my part. But also we need the audiences to show love. If you love the album, please go ahead and purchase it today. Today is the day we all make history.
All right. Now, the recurring theme through our social media, as I've been monitoring comments, is that I keep seeing people who are saying Taylor, she's earned herself a new fan in me based on what
they
were listening to.
That's so nice. Lovely. Then you see, this is what's wonderful. I was actually thinking about this the other day, just to give you a slightly long-winded answer. I was in a radio space, and this particular station has millions of fans, but they still had a billboard, and it occurred to me, you never stop selling yourself to new people. You know,
certainly.
And so even when you have any platform to do anything, you sort of consider the fact that a person might be hearing you for the first time.
Yeah.
And I love that. That kind of feedback is fantastic. It's awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Let's just talk about what we just witnessed right here with you performing some of the songs from the album Born Free. The sound, the one thing that you mentioned was that it's very anthemic.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like something that's a movie soundtrack of sorts. Tell me about the process of working on this. It must have taken a hell of a lot of production.
Yeah. We really worked hard. It's been a process of about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And just really researching how I want to express myself. You know, it's one thing using words, but it's another actually actualizing it and putting it into a sonic experience. And I know my producer in particular really worked hard to help me find that sound. So in terms of the composition process, I would sit with my computer.
Mm-hmm.
I would create music using my voice. So you'd hear me pseudo beatboxing.
Okay.
And then I'd sing the bass, say my voice, and I would sing other elements. And then by the time it got to production, I feel there was already like a direction. And my producer was just phenomenal in terms of capturing that.
Interpreting that into what we're hearing.
But like beautifully, really capturing what I was trying to do and even amplifying it even more. So also having a great team makes a difference. Really having somebody that gets you and gets your vision is key. I've always said with my first album, for instance, I felt like a lot of my ideas lost their essence because they were so heavily interpreted.
Yeah.
This album, it feels like, you know, these people were like part of my limbs, as it were. They just got me that beautifully. So it's been an exciting process.
What was your biggest fear working on this album?
That people will not easily understand change or evolution. But it's natural, isn't it? It's natural to want to be more, to want to be better, to want to be bigger. And also, I didn't just want to do another album. I wanted to, you know, you actually said it when you said it, I mean, I threw my hands up in the air. You said it is our duty to capture the times.
Yes.
So this is, as Africans, we are searching for our place and space in the world. iTunes doing this for me today says we're seeing you. Mm. We're seeing you, feeling you. So for me, I don't want to be sort of secondary anymore. It's about us defining who we are and taking the forefront on a global stage and saying, this is who I am as an African. This is my story. So the Born Free album is nothing political, but it's saying, all of us are born free and all of us can be brilliant, can be great, can be whatever we want to be. We're no longer limited, and our strongest limitations have always been in the mind, after all.
Very interesting stuff. We're hanging out with Lira and we are discussing Born Free, which is officially out. You can actually purchase it on iTunes as we speak. Now, the continent. I mean, Africa is the new frontier. There's a new appetite. There's just this exciting energy around Africa. What's Lira's plan for Africa, for the continent?
For me, it's always been retelling the African story. A lot of us... This is at least how it felt for me, was that I was just thrown into this world and I was told what and who I am as an African child without me having to decide for myself. So all these limitations were always put on me. You know, I remember for a long time, mediocrity was sort of expected, was associated with being African, being average, being a slave or being poor, or all of these things that are associated with being African. But that's not our story. That's not our narrative. That's not where it ends. You know, we're completely different people than what the world perceives us to be. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, let's own our story. Let's rewrite the script so that the child that you might be that you've just given birth to has a different perception of who she is as an African child. So she's empowered. She's free. She's powerful. She can be brilliant. She can work hard and know that she can make her dreams come true. So for me, it's to create the soundtrack for that new story.
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
All right, there's a little game we like playing here. I just want to quickly play that game with you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a word. Through that word, you have to transform that into music, into some kind of melody.
Okay.
Obviously, with the help of Titch here on keys.
Hey, Titch.
All right?
Cool. All right.
I'm trying to think of something that's not necessarily...
I was going to say, don't give me like a big word, like a seriously big word.
No, you can't decide.
Exactly. That I have to look up first.
You can't decide.
My English goes and then stops.
You can't decide. Okay, you can't decide. All right,
cool. Okay, I'm ready.
Water.
Oh, let the water fall. Let that water flow. Let that water flow. So I'm gonna make this comical, because it's a Friday, we need not be serious, no. So I know my doctor says I need to drink a lot more water, and I'm just like, throw glass of champagne instead. I know you want me to drink water, but how about after the glass of champagne? Let that water flow. Let that water flow. Yeah. I don't know how long it's supposed to be.
Just go. It's yours.
Okay.
You've got one more minute.
1 minute?
Yes.
You see, you didn't give me a time. Okay, cool. So I could have created a whole story there. Okay, cool. Do I throw me another word?
No, go ahead.
Word. Same okay, cool.
Expand on that narrative.
Fantastic. So now, here I am sipping on this water, and I feel it quenching my thirst. Thirst for life, yeah. There must be so much life in this water. So please, please let it flow. Let the water flow. Let the water flow. Yeah. I'm doing a bridge. Oh, I'm by the river, seeing an abundance of this flowing water, and I step to it cautiously. I don't wanna be washed away, don't wanna be carried away. I just want a sip of water. Just a teeny weeny bit sip of water. given by this planet, and yet here we are paying for it. What kind of life is this? Why are we paying for water? So much abundance, and they be making us pay for it.
Beautiful. The incredible Lira, ladies and gentlemen. The album is out. Born Free. And what is not in the album? It should be. It should be in the album.
Next album.
Wow. Oh, man. Lira, listen, you are phenomenal. You represent more than just music so much. And I think this album is just a testament to that. The fact that you've come full circle. I know there's a long way to go for you, but, you know, in terms of what you've already presented to the world at large, it's remarkable. Thank you very much for sharing yourself with us today.
Oh, I so appreciate it. And I'm going to take a moment to do something I hardly ever do, and I probably should do it more often.
Yes.
I want to give a shout out to Robin Cole.
Yes.
Who's my husband, my producer, who's my everything behind the scenes. He's my photographer.
The backstory.
He's like the backstory. So this woman cannot be all she can be without this man who holds it all together. So shout out to you, boo.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
Him and I have had like countless back and forth emails,
right?
Throughout the week.
That I didn't have to worry about because he was on top of it. So,
certainly,
yeah.
Certainly. Listen, you deserve nothing but the best
Thank
in life.
You.
I pray that people go out there and they buy this album. Born Free is available. Make history and take it all the way to number one.
Please do. Let's do this.
Performances?
Yes, I've got a launch on the 8th and 9th of April at Gold Reef City. Come through. It's gonna be epic. You know we always get lit.
All right. Cool stuff. Titch, thank you very much.
Good to be here.
Titch, lovely, man. You play beautifully.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah, let's thank alcohol. I mean, Titch.
TGIF, yeah.
To my team, they worked tirelessly throughout the week to ensure that this happens. I mean, from Greg to Kat to Duncan to everybody who made sure that this was a success. Dory as well. Jono, everybody, thank you guys very much. We out of here. Enjoy your weekend.
Ladies love. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
Cliff Central. You're listening to O'Neill on Cliff Central.
Yeah, baby.
CliffCentral.com.